Welcome to the X-Men Task Podcast. My name is Willie Simpson.
And I'm Sonya Rappaport.
And today we're discussing Beauty and the Beast, the 10th episode of the second season, the 23rd episode overall. And this episode is a slice of life episode. I guess the slice of beast life, we should say.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I just assumed, based on my faulty memory, that this would be like a beast origin story. It really isn't.
No.
Although they do touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, but it is a beast focus episode.
Yeah, it's a beast solo episode. And unlike our typical X-Men adventures, this one is... It's pretty disconnected from the overall thread line, at least the main focus of the story is.
Mm-hmm.
Although the various X-Men plots we've been following do come up
mm-hmm.
and intertwine in different ways. Essentially, we learn that Beast is a doctor slash researcher slash surgeon, maybe, at a hospital for the blind. And he's been working with his friend Dr. Bolson to cure a patient's blindness.
Mm-hmm.
This patient being a pretty young woman named Carly. So it's just, this is just an interesting aspect of Beast's character that they sometimes go into, highlighting that Beast has like a rich, full world outside of the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like Cyclops, who's just basically, you know,
a full-time X-Men.
Yeah, like Professor X's, you know, agent, more or less.
Yeah.
Beast is like out doing things in the world.
Right, he has a job, clearly.
Right, he's got, well, he might have more than one job,
uh-huh.
even, you know. He, you know, we've seen him testifying before Congress, and he's generally more of a public advocate for mutant rights than most of the other X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like... sort of unrelated to that, this is like his side gig, because Beast is a enormous genius.
Right.
So, you know, here he is just like doing work that, well, he sort of says it later in the episode that he focuses on, he throws himself in work to sort of forget about his mutant troubles,
mm-hmm.
of which he, you know, is plagued more severely than some of the other X-Men.
Right. He's extra motivated in this job, though, because of Carly, who we find out is... I don't know, like, kind of his girlfriend?
Well, they're falling for each other.
Right.
They're getting that doctor-patient magical love story thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's treating her in a really effective way, as we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's sort of the scene that's been laid out. You see that Beast is very sort of comfortably accepted in this hospital. This Dr. Bolson, this blonde-haired guy, is his friend. They understand that Beast is a genius, and they don't really care that he's a big blue furry mutant. So, but almost right away, there's an explosion at the mm-hmm. hospital, and it's quite clearly the Friends of Humanity, our old pals.
Right, but at the very beginning, like before the explosion happens, two guys come into the room where Carly is speaking to Dr. Bolson and Beast,
mm-hmm.
and like they look at Dr. Bolson, and he like gives them a look, like not right now kind of look or
right,
something like
yeah.
that, and then they leave, and then right shortly after that the explosion happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that made me like pretty suspicious of Dr. Bolson in the beginning.
Oh, you were suspicious of good old Dr. Bolson.
Oh yeah.
Well, hold on to your suspicions
mm-hmm.
and your hats. We'll see if Dr. Bolson, we'll see where his heart truly lies
uh-huh.
as we keep talking about this.
Right.
But anyway, it is the Friends of Humanity attacking this hospital. And it's a pretty, you know, like all their attacks, it's pretty nasty. They set an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Beast springs into action. He takes Dr. Bolson and Carly, and he jumps them both out like a 3-story window.
Yep. To safety.
Right, yeah. He's got very, like, dexterous jumping powers.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess extreme leg muscles that don't mind, you know, jumping 3 stories or whatever. So he's a hero at all times. The Friends of Humanity are the old gang. It's like a dual attack slash protest, because there's the regular Friends of Humanity goons wearing their dumb berets, like marching around doing the violence, but then there's also like regular protesters too on their side.
Right.
And the sort of asshole in chief, Creed, is leading the charge in his, you know, dark red suit of evil
mm-hmm.
and his
mm-hmm.
armband, very Nazi-esque. So Beast again he kind of hates violence, but he's forced to fight with these guys, and it hasn't been the first time. So there's like a really funny line that just really captures Beast's character wonderfully, and the writers of the show always write. He's probably the best written character on the show, like bar none, and the smartest, and they don't hold back. So while he's like beating up some goons, he says, "I'm sorry, gentlemen, your anger at the inexorable alienation of late 20th century life is sadly misdirected." Now, can you break down the statement for us, Sonia?
Can I?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, inexorable is like you can't, it's something like unstoppable, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So like, you know, the modern age is like alienating us all, and you're mad about it.
The
and,
late 90s,
yeah,
or
right.
the 90s, right? Late right. 20th century life. So it's right. impossible to stop the alienation of late 20th century life.
Right, and you're taking it out on mutants.
Right, when
you say, shouldn't.
Right. So what should they be taking it out on? What? How should you best direct the alienation that's impossible not to feel in our modern times?
Mindfulness and meditation.
Right, yeah, or like learning how to play guitars. Writing a poem, perhaps.
Right.
Reading Dostoevsky as Beast might do.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to say something about the actor who portrays Beast. His name is George Buzza, or perhaps it's pronounced Buza.
Or Buza.
Or Buza. That actually sounds better. George Buza.
I don't actually know. Well, sorry, George.
Well, no, we're not sorry to him. We love George.
I'm sorry, I don't know how to say your last name correctly.
I'm sure he doesn't mind. George Buza, let's say. He is phenomenal. Much like Lenore Zahn, we discovered last, she's also phenomenal. George, he is maybe the best voice actor on the show. He really inhabits the character of Beast.
I think we've said that already
about many characters.
Yeah, yeah. But they're he's really good.
They're all great. They all are incredibly fantastic, the entire cast. But George Buza is really great, and it says something. He Bryan Singer, as we've said many times, when he was preparing the first X-Men movie, he watched the entire animated series, and he loved it too. And I guess his favorite character was Beast, we can assume, at least from the animated series, because he puts George Buza in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy in the movie, if you remember, who picks Rogue up and drops her off in Alaska somewhere in a truck.
Mm.
And he actually had that, and he has like a line. He says, "This is Lawton City," when Rogue says, "I thought you were taking me there." So that's his famous line. And then you kind of see him later. He's like passed out in the bar where Wolverine is introduced, and he witnesses Wolverine's claws. And there's like a great look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to think this is the voice actor seeing the X-Men finally come to life in a way.
Right.
And it's like it's cool that he gets to witness it.
Yeah.
So good on George. But anyway, yeah, so I love the character of Beast in the show. He's so incredibly articulate and, like, has got such, like, the most gentlest soul and,
yeah,
you know.
I always really liked him, too, as a kid.
Right,
you
yeah.
Because he's, like, super intelligent and, like, you know, as, like, a nerdy kid who valued smarts. I would watch the show and be like, Beast's so smart, I really like him.
Yeah, and in this episode, more than anything, you really see his humanity, you know? Like, he's in this, it's such a credit to the voice acting and to the way it's written that I, even watching a silly cartoon like this, I always ignore his, like, appearance. He just seems normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his humanity always shines through the character. He doesn't look like a hideous, like, he couldn't be more hideous looking. He's bright blue, right? He's, like, taller, mostly taller than everyone else when he doesn't slouch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's super muscular and big, has, like, big gnarly claws out of his toes and fingers, and he's got, like, a bestial overbite.
Yeah.
You know? And he's got Wolverine's hair, too, which is really funny. Think
right.
about. He's got the same blue hair as Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And he wears underpants all the time.
Yeah.
So, but despite all that, he's just, like, you never really, like, pay attention to it. He's just, like, a normal...
Because he's so, like, kind and gentle.
Right, and the voice of reason so often.
Right.
Yeah, so just a great character. And this is, like I said, a great spotlight for him in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that, you know, the Friends of Humanity attack the hospital. Wolverine has been witnessing this on the X-Men computers, which the X-Men we've seen thus far, are kept abreast of many of the world's events. They watch a lot of news in their basement there, in the sort of Cerebro room. And he smashes the computer, and he immediately wants to take on the Friends of Humanity. And Jean has to kind of talk him down. And Wolverine says, "Yeah, no, X-Men don't seek revenge." And in that moment, I wondered, like, have the X-Men sought revenge?
Yeah, I was wondering that, too. I don't know. Like, they definitely are violent a lot of times.
Yeah, and I feel like I'd have to, if you remember specifically if and when the X-Men have taken revenge up to this point, or if they do in the future, let us know in the Facebook discussion group. I feel like this is just, like, a rule that they threw in, like, just right for the purposes of this episode.
Right. We haven't heard that explicitly stated before, but, yeah. You know.
I mean, so much of Wolverine's backstory and character is based on revenge in a lot of ways, too.
Right.
So,
well, maybe that's why he doesn't, like,
maybe the Jean
mesh
just,
into the X-Men
right.
society
or,
at all.
Or maybe Jean just made up this rule specifically for him.
That wouldn't be misplaced.
It's the Wolverine rule. Yeah, Jubilee, you go seek revenge. Wolverine, no revenge for you. And so Wolverine sort of promises not to seek revenge, but he is going to go tackle this problem in his own way. So mm-hmm. he heads off on a mission. Jean is, like, also really distraught about this, all these events. And at this point, she desperately, like, touches her head, and she's mentally scanning for the professor in, like, a sort of, like, a wild, like, desperate hope.
Right.
But he's nowhere to be contacted for a couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't find him, but then we get to see him.
Right. We see where he is, and we know where he is.
Yeah, right.
But it's, like, it's funny because it's, like, she can't contact him because, just to remind everyone that in the Savage Land where he's stranded with Magneto, his legs were given the ability to work, but he lost his powers. Mm-hmm. As did Magneto, so she wouldn't be able to psychically link up with him. So that's why she hasn't have any luck.
But she, but isn't there something else with the Savage Land? Because, like, she's
it's in, like,
able...
a no Wi-Fi zone.
Yeah, basically.
It's in, like, a dead spot for psychic activity.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, I think if the...
Well, because she can find... She can, like, locate anybody
and,
like, make this psychic link with them. They don't have to be psychic, too. She does that to, like, other mutants
and humans. I would say generally that the psychic X-Men have the best luck connecting with other mutants first and foremost.
Uh-huh.
Well, even before that, they have best luck connecting with other psychics they can connect with.
Mm-hmm.
They can detect the presence of other psychics. Then beyond that, it's easier for them to detect mutants because there's so few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I guess theoretically they could track down humans, but it doesn't seem...
I think just, like, plot-wise, they don't usually have reason that they need
right,
to.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. And Professor X is sort of technically in human mode at this point.
I guess.
I don't know. Right, yeah. I mean, he isn't really. He's not. His genetics aren't different. I mean, his genetics haven't changed.
Right.
I mean, who knows? Maybe his DNA did change. Like, he's walking somehow, even though he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
And his brain powers don't work. So, like, who knows what's going on in the Savage Land. But, like, typically, finding normal people is not the X-Men's strong suit.
Uh-huh.
That's why
he needed Cerebro.
Yeah, I mean, he needs Cerebro just even to expand that. But,
yeah.
Right. Anyway, Jean's getting desperate. But like you said, cut to the Savage Land. We see Magneto and the Professor traipsing around a swamp. And they fall for the old captured in a net trick that's befallen so many heroes in so many different, like, movies and TV shows.
So true.
Like, you know, most notably Chewbacca and Han Solo in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So they're captured. And they're captured by a mutant we haven't seen before. His name is Amphibious. Wait, who's there? Has someone just walked into this room?
That's my favorite thing about this character. He slurps before and after every sentence that he says.
Yeah, he's quite slurpy with all...
Which is, like, pretty gross, actually.
He's just, like, constantly drooling that he has to slurp in his slurp.
I guess. You don't see him drool, but he makes that noise always.
Yeah, I like your Amphibious impression. Can you give us a taste?
What's the line that he says?
I don't know.
You must come with me now.
The master will not be pleased.
Does he say that?
He says that in a later episode. That's my favorite Amphibious line of all time. So, I mean, we haven't even described what he looks like. He's just like this big, like, green bug-eyed lizard man that also wears underpants. he covers up his shame a little bit.
Of course.
He's got, like, big, like, red bug eyes. And like we said, he's... I don't know what he's eating that makes him drool so much all the time. I feel like
it's just that amphibians are, like, moist all the time.
I don't know. I just imagine him just, like, throwing back pixie sticks constantly. But they managed to, you know, Amphibious is, like, one of these really, like, dumb mutants, and they managed to easily escape from him. And, you know, so onward go Magneto and Professor X. Like, who knows what they're even looking for at this point, lost in the middle of the jungle there.
Right.
In Antarctica. I don't even think we checked in on them in the last episode, so.
No, I haven't seen them for a while.
Yeah, so it's good to see they're still alive. Cut back to New York City. Wolverine is undercover. He's wearing his extremely tight black t-shirt and a gray, I'm going to say it's the Oakland A's baseball team hat.
It's because there's a letter A on it?
Well, A and apostrophe S, and,
oh, okay.
But it's red text. So this is like an extreme alternate Oakland A's hat.
You're the only one who knows that it
right,
doesn't
I'm exist. Just a huge baseball fan, so I have to like try to parse out to see if this is like a real hat of his or not. Anyway, and he's wearing like weird...
His red sunglasses.
Weird red sunglasses. Yeah, maybe borrowed from Cyclops' collection. Do they have ruby quartz in them?
I don't think
not
so.
Not important to know. Okay. So anyway, he's undercover. He pretends to get attacked in the alleyway behind the Friends of Humanity, like, base. And they run out to see what's going on. He's like, it was a lousy mutant that got me. And they're like, oh, come in, brother. You know, they think he's another victim of the horrible scourge of mutants. So he's breaking into to the Friends of Humanity. And then... So that's what Wolverine's up to. But then, Beast, today is the day that Carly's surgery, like we said, Carly's blind. Today is the day of the results of her surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So Beast, even though there's been a whole bunch of, like, craziness at the hospital, he shows up. And, this is just another, like, funny outfit of Beast's. His inconspicuous outfit.
Yeah.
His, like, 1940s detective outfit he wears.
His, like, trenched coat, like a brown trench coat.
Yeah, he wears
a hat.
Yeah, he wears, like, a floor-length trench coat and, a like, a detective's hat.
Right.
Fedora.
As if you would never notice him because he's wearing that.
Yeah, but like, he doesn't wear a shirt or pants.
Well, and he's wearing like, his blue hair sticks out from all sides. Yeah. And, like, he's still... enormous.
Right. And there was a funny animation error we noticed in like one of these scenes where they cut back to him and he's wearing a white lab coat.
It was just like a reused
But continuing on our theme from the last episode of animation errors and
right,
stuff
and
being nerdy and noticing
it
them.
Was just brief, but
yeah no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
Dr. Bolson like informs Beast that like, hey, you know, like it might not be a good idea for you to be here. And he lets Beast in on Carly's father, like, ranting and raving to the hospital administrator, who says something like, I will not allow a filthy mutant to look after my daughter. You know, something to that effect. And Beast is, like, so crestfallen at this that her father's a bigot.
Yeah.
And that he can't be here for this Carly woman who's forged a real connection with. And, like, you know, has done a ton of work on.
Right. I mean, he, like, cured blindness for her.
I know. Like, can we talk about that for a second? Did Beast cure blindness?
Yeah.
Yeah. Beast is amazing. So, yeah, I mean, this is the episode where Beast cures blindness. Well, we don't really know that. Maybe he just cured a rare form of blindness. Maybe Carly got hit with the same chemicals that hit Daredevil and, you know, blinded him.
Uh-huh.
And he found a cure for that, you know.
Well...
I'm just trying to tie it in with the greater Marvel Universe. A bit of a stretch?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe a bit of a stretch. All right. But despite this, he still is compelled to see Carly, and she recognizes him right away, and he's like, how do you recognize me? And she's like, your aftershave. I could smell it.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh. But now that leads to the next question. Does Beast shave, and what?
Maybe he'd be even hairier if he didn't.
But where do you think he's shaving?
His face.
It's hard to tell in the show because, like, it seemingly his...
he'd be blue no matter what, but he...
Well,
do
I don't
draw,
know. Is
like,
his skin blue or is his just his fur blue?
I don't know, but they do draw that... His face looks hairy to me.
He definitely has mutton chops.
Uh-huh.
And, like, a scruffy beard thing.
Yeah.
To an extent. But it's hard to tell if he has, like, got a blue-faced skin...
Uh-huh.
And it's his blue hair grows out of it. You know, it's like in the portrayal in the movies, whether it was Kelsey Grammer or Nicholas Holt, I think they showed the character of Beast with blue skin.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure in the comics he has blue skin as well. He definitely has blue palms.
Right.
Where there's no hair on the skin.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he's blue-skinned.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess he's shaving his face.
I guess.
Yeah. I wonder, it's like, do you think if he could, like, shave his whole body or, like, give himself electrolysis... he could, like, maybe be slightly more normal looking, or the blue skin would still be too freakish.
I think he'd look strange no matter what.
Yeah.
She also says that, like...
Well, let me just say, before you go there, like, the story of... Before Beast... So in the comics, Beast wasn't blue. He, like, did a weird medical experiment on himself and got turned blue.
Uh-huh.
In the movies, they make it seem like he was trying to cure his, like, mutancy.
Right.
I don't know if that was the case in the comics. It might have been. There's something weirder going on in the comics, like how he turned blue.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm not sure if in the comics when he turned blue, if that made his body even bigger than it was. Because pre-Blue Beast was, like, still a hulking man, you know?
Wasn't he, like, adolescent, though? Like, still at an age where he was growing when he did that, though?
It's hard to...
Like, he might have just not been, like, fully grown into his mutation.
I think he was definitely in his early 20s when he turned blue.
Oh.
You know, and, like, throughout the years of comic books, the characters age very slowly.
Right.
And then they sort of stop aging at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they start off as teenagers, most of them, and then a lot of them sort of stop aging by, like, late 20s, early 30s or something.
Okay, fair enough.
So who knows with Beast, but, like, before he was blue, like I was trying to say, he had, like, a big hulking, like, sort of, you know, not a tiny body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I wonder if, like, he just turned blue, or if, like, his experiment made him even bigger and, like, more ape-like.
Hmm.
So that's something else someone could inform us on, too.
Yeah, don't know.
That's a question I've always wondered.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, were you going to say something about Carly? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, just that she mentions, like, that he is really, like, soft blue fur at some point. And I just thought that was a funny detail, because I do remember as a kid watching it, wondering, like, if he had, like, coarse, scruffy fur, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's soft, apparently. This answers your question.
Apparently so, yeah.
He's real soft and cuddly.
So maybe then, like, he doesn't care about shaving it as much because
It's not like my beard that's real coarse and...
Offensive to...
Strident to soft skin.
To soft skin.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's good to keep in mind. So, you know, at this point, they cut off Carly's bandages, and she can see, and she's not at all offended by the sight of Beast. She thinks he's pretty cool looking, and that's really actually touching and nice. But then the father bursts in, and he's so offended at the sight of Beast and, like, says a bunch of bigoted things, and Beast, like, sort of shuffles off, trying to say, like, this is a day of joy, let's just leave it at that. You know, he doesn't really confront the father, you know, even though he'd like to give him a piece of his mind.
Yeah, but for Carly's sake, he's a gentleman.
Right, and then Beast goes home, and he looks at his, like, family, like, scrapbook or something, and you see him throughout... This is, like, where you briefly get his origin, sort of. Although they don't explain how he turned blue or if it was natural in the course of this show. You know, they see his photos throughout the years. He was a normal kid, and then he became more mutinous, and he just, like, looked like he had a real happy life in a lot of ways. You know, they show him, like, at, like, a university with his, like, Shazbot t-shirt, and at a baseball game with a lot of friends, and...
What is Shazbot? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it is. I don't remember. It might just be... I forget.
Okay.
What is Shazbot, everybody? Let us know. Into the magic microphone, we ask. But he's crying now, because even though it looks like he's been real happy and found a way to cope with being a mutant, he really hasn't. He's really, like, suffering deeply inside.
Right. Well, he's also, like, a sensitive, emotional, like, being.
Yeah, he is.
And, you know.
Yeah, he's so thoughtful and, you know, and he's got so much heart. And it's here that Jean comes by, who's one of his, like, oldest friends, and serves him a lunch. And there's much debate about what exactly she was serving him.
I think there's definitely an apple and a slice of cake.
I thought it more looked like a taco and an apple.
Oh, yeah. There was one more item, though, that might have been, like, a hamburger or a potato.
I only saw the potato-like thing. And to me, from a certain angle, it looked like a taco. And I was like, a taco and an apple?
And there's definitely a slice of cake, too.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it.
It was very thoughtful of Jean.
Yeah. But Jean doesn't have much. Well, actually, you know, Jean, like, gives him a big hug and reminds him that people love him. And that's, like, the nice thing about Beast. He really has a lot of love amongst, like, his fellow X-Men and the community he lives in and stuff. Like, everyone, like, gets it. Like, everyone gets Beast that knows him.
Yeah.
You know, like, Wolverine is always so offended whenever Beast is trifled with.
Right.
This is, like, not the first time it's happened where Wolverine is, like, outraged that, like, Beast has been wrong, because, like, Wolverine just knows how what a good person he is. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the thing, because Wolverine is a character that feels really sorry for himself a lot of the times, but Beast, like, often reminds him that it could be worse, you know, that you could be, like way more cursed with your, like, mutation yeah. than he is. And so, like, Wolverine just loves Beast. They're, like, best friends. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's just great to see all the friendships and, you know, everything that's going on. It's, like, such a... I mean, again, it's just, like, this is a show for kids, but there's just the mature adult themes going on. You know, you don't even... It's just, they're just normal people. They're presented as normal people, and they're adults. And there's not, like, too much, like, oftentimes there's, like, not too much crazy drama. It's not like there's weird, like, you know, sexual chemistry between Jean and Beast that's, like, amped up for drama. You know what I mean? They're just friends. It's, mm-hmm. like, nothing is, like...
They're teammates.
Yeah, they're teammates. They're, like, it's not everything is, like, played for, like... you know, push 10 on the drama scale. You mm-hmm. know, it's just like it lets you as the viewer breathe a bit
yeah.
and like accept this as like normal or real.
Right.
So this is a great episode if you haven't caught
it. It really is, yeah.
Yeah. So and we might have messed up the timeline here a little bit, but basically back at the hospital, Carly is kidnapped and it's by the Friends of Humanity. They scrawl like "For Humanity" and spray paint on the hospital wall. And Beast is like so angry because he wasn't there for that. He like stepped away for a second and runs back into the room, and he confronts the father. He's like, "Don't you see now? It's like your intolerance and bigotedness. These are the people that kidnapped your daughter and put her in danger." Hmm. And the father's kind of like overcome and like might finally be realizing he's an idiot. And so Beast is like hot on the trail now too. So. But back to Wolverine, he is, like, fully, you know, he's on this case. This is, like, for Wolverine, taking on the Friends of Humanity is just, like, it's so easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, like, Apocalypse or Mr. Sinister.
Right.
They're not challenging. In fact,
no,
he kind of, like...
just, like, dudes with, like, laser guns that he can very easily avoid.
And he like, just, like, relishes beating them up.
Right. Because they're such clear villains, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Like, these are not multidimensional characters.
Right. Well, they're... But as a... threat, though, they're very interesting. Despite their not being multidimensional, the threat is very interesting.
Yeah.
Right. They
right.
like, represent racism and like,
I agree.
Bigotedness.
In that way, it has depth. They have depth as a foe.
Right.
Right? But I'm saying it's not like there's any real like redeeming qualities about them that are shown that would give you conflict about Wolverine going after them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know.
And we get like an interesting detail, like while he's undercover, Wolverine says his name is John Logan, and I feel like we know... It's hard for me to tell if to the audience the cartoon is saying Wolverine... Logan's first name is John, or if they're saying, like, we know his first name isn't John. He's just making up a first name.
Uh-huh.
His name is Logan, and we don't know what his real name is or
uh-huh.
the real complete name. So, like, that was, like, a weird moment. Like, I wonder if, like, the cartoon was just, like, trying to, like, say it themselves. Like, yeah, he's John Logan.
Hmm.
I mean, in the comics, like, it's revealed after many years that his name is, like, James Howlett or something. And
yeah.
Logan was some other name that he adopted along the way, and... I was never happy with the name James Howlett. I don't know why they had to go there.
Right.
I think Logan's, like, so badass of a name, like, especially for that character. Really suits him. Like, how he had to have this other name was, like, kind of beyond me. Like,
yeah.
I don't get, like, why
yeah,
they
I agree.
Narratively
I don't know why
to,
that twist was added
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, just, but. Like, how about, like, just discover what his real name was, you
right.
know, like Ralph Logan or something.
Yeah, right.
I'm not saying that's much cooler, but you know what I mean. So, yeah, like I said, I don't know if, like, this is the show, like, trying to tell kids, wow, like, if you were a 10-year-old kid, would you say, like, wow, his name's John? But I feel like me having read the comics at the time, I knew that his name couldn't be John. Like, I knew that, like...
I don't know if they thought that deeply about it. I thought it was just, like, he's...
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, just a small detail. And then, like, you know, so Carly's captured in this, like, creepy Friends of Humanity base, and the FOH... director guy is grilling her, and he's like so outraged at the thought that she might have had a relationship with Beast, like basically, you know, a sexual relationship or an intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like disgusted, and that's just like a great again a great parallel to show kids that so much of like racism is rooted in this weird like sexual fear too that has existed in history. Where, you know, like, if you're racist, you don't want your precious daughter to sleep with someone from another race, and like how like could anything else be more disgusting? And it's like that's like a theme that's existed in the history of racism, and the show's presenting that in this like little scene,
right?
And showing how, you know, evil it is to think that way.
Well, I think in like traditional racism, part of that fear.
Let's examine traditional racism.
I mean, I don't have anything real deep about this, but like part of that fear, I imagine, is that it like proliferates that other race, right?
Because
then like the babies are going to be like biracial or whatever.
They have like, their whole twisted concepts of race polluting and of
right,
like,
exactly. So I'm wondering,
all this bullshit.
Like, is that a thing? Like, does that translate into the mutant racist discussion? Like, if a mutant and a human have a baby, is it a mutant baby?
Well, that's an excellent question, because Wolverine's plan, he promised Jean he's not going to seek revenge or really use violence. But so he kind of busts in, he rescues Carly, and Beast is also busted in as well, but he's like gotten beaten down by these FOH guards. It was too much for him.
Yeah.
So he's like almost near death, sort of. And not really. He's just like almost unconscious. And so Wolverine has to rescue Beast as well, and he's trying to get everyone out, and his plan was Cyclops at this point blows a hole through the wall, and Jubilee sets up a hologram machine, and they don't know why, and it's a hologram of Sabretooth, and it's like Professor X's like mutant profile on Sabretooth come to life, kind of. And it turns out that this Creed guy is the son of Sabretooth,
right,
who is Grayton Creed Sr., and I guess this guy's Grayton Creed Jr. And so this guy Creed, he's
a
human.
What kind of name is Grayton? How do you spell that?
I think it's with a G. G-R-A-Y-T-O-N. Grayton.
Oh, like the color gray.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
I wasn't picturing it like that. But
well, my thing is, anyway, like, I thought Sabretooth's name was Victor Creed. I mean, I haven't, like I said, I haven't, I read all these comics, like, in the 80s and 90s when Sabretooth was introduced, and, like, I just don't remember what, you know, it's like with Wolverine and Sabretooth, so much of their storyline was a mystery then and wasn't resolved when this cartoon came out. And that, like, plays out too, because Wolverine hints that, like, don't I look like your father, maybe? Which, because I think in the 90s there was a suspicion that Wolverine and Sabretooth were brothers or something. Or maybe that Wolverine was his son, or Sabretooth was Wolverine's son. There's, like, some, like, weird familial connection.
All right.
And I don't think that, like, ever, like, really ended up being the case in the comics. They just, like, knew each other from a very young age. And the movies kind of, like, went in their own direction, too, along that path. They were, like, sort of, like, adopted brothers, in a sense, you know. I don't know. Or they were half-brothers. I don't know. Something weird's going on between Wolverine and Sabretooth.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, like, I thought his name was Victor Creed. Again, Facebook fans, please, like, give us the full Sabretooth breakdown of of what's going on there. Like, right. Is he Grayton Creed or is he Victor Creed?
If you care to weigh in.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, maybe it's like the Gambit thing where it's like they didn't know what Gambit's name was in the 90s either. He had a few different names before they settled on, like, Remy LeBeau is the real one.
Right.
So, anyway, to answer your question again, is like, yes, like, I guess a mutant can have a human child. We don't know if what the story with Creed's, the evil Creed, well, the Friends of Humanity, Evil Creed's mother was. She could have been a human or a mutant. We don't know.
Right.
But I guess it's just like, I think it's like if you're both mutants, you're more than likely to have a mutant child. But I think it's like random still. I think there's like a chance that you could have a human child. Or
you have a very serious look on your face. This is
the recessive genes of mutancy are, it's a very complex case to figure out. We have to understand how this works if we're ever getting any serious research done. Anyway, and then it's like, so once this Creed guy and his goons are presented with the fact that his father was a mutant, a really vile one, in fact, this Creed guy has like a real freak out tangent. It's like, no, you're not my father, you're not my father, you're not my father. And he starts shooting up his own place, and it's at the point the X-Men just slowly leave. And and that's like a weird like inverse. It's like a story about like fathers and children, because like Carly's father hates mutants, but and Creed the son hates his father because he is a mutant. It's a lot of like that theme,
father issues,
yeah, with mutancy going on. And but at, there's like a nice like beat at the end of this episode, because once Carly's safe, you know, they sort of, he kisses her on the head. I thought they were gonna like make
Beast
out.
Does, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were gonna make out for a second. And Beast deserved that. He needed like a nice kiss.
Yeah.
And also, my question to you: do you think it'd be like nice to kiss Beast? Or do you think it's gross?
Well, apparently his face is very furry and soft, so...
Or is that the part he shaves? Are you, see, this is what I'm talking about.
See, either way, it's fine.
You think it's fine either way? It's okay.
Well, but the thing is that, like, he basically is, like, breaking up with her at that point.
Yeah, he is. It's really sad. And it's like, why is he breaking up with her? Like, she's like, fully accepts him. And the I didn't say it yet, but the father fully accepts Beast at the end. He says, how could I ever thank you again?
Right.
And Beast says this is a start.
Beast understands that them being together could put Carly in danger.
Oh, right, because he's an X-Man. And
he doesn't want her to be in danger. Right. But that goes back to, like, the advice that Jean was giving him when she brought him that fantastic apple cake
and taco
meal. Like
taco hamburger,
because Beast was worrying about the same thing at that point, and Jean basically was like, well, you know, shouldn't that be Carly's decision to make?
Yeah, he's like,
you know, like, give her a chance to decide for herself. And Beast was like, oh yeah. And to that I say, good advice, Jean. That's exactly right.
I get it, but
then at the end of the episode he's not following that advice.
He's too insecure still.
Yeah,
he's got too many issues. And who could blame him? He, you know, and as for
it's
as
true.
Centered
he's
as he is, he's still
furry.
Well, I mean, he's just got a lot of issues. I mean, you can't. It's hard for him to live with him. He has to find his own way to live with himself.
Right.
And for him to have the dalliance of a regular relationship might be like too much in that moment. Although in the comics, though, I'm pretty sure Beast has several relationships, and he's like quite more normalized in a sense too. He really, like, Beast in the comics is even more confident and self-assured, I think, than this version of Beast. He's very, you know, he joins the Avengers at some point. He's just out and about in the world. He, at times, he, like, actually, he reverts back to being a human.
Really?
In the yeah, like, briefly. He gets some kind of cure, but it almost kills him. And then, his mutation, like, gets worse at some point. He goes from being, like, a big ape man to, like, a big cat man that's even more mutated. And, he loses more dexterity in his fingers and stuff.
Oh,
this was in the Grant Morrison run, the famous comic book author. He makes him even more, like, monstrous.
Huh.
And that was, like, an interesting... I think that was in, like, the new X-Men in the early 2000s. Beast says something like, he's still... struggling with his mutation. He says, like, I used to be able to play guitar, and, like, I can't even do that anymore. And Wolverine says something to him. He's not, like, joining his pity party. He's like, well, learn to play drums, or something like that. So the character of Beast is always forever interesting and forever brilliant. So that just about wraps up this episode. The next episode will be Mojo Vision, one of the best episodes in the show's history, and one of the real weird, unique spin-off episodes, too. And that will come right before we sort of close up season two with a two-parter.
That's right.
So Mojo Vision, look out for that. I want to thank, on the Facebook group, our friend, I believe his name is Adam Caught Our Eye, because he said something really cool the other day. I was concerned with, like, the retconning of storylines, like how Angel at one point is shown like having been an original team member, but he's clearly established before then as like never having met the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam brought up the idea that like, oh, maybe it's all the like crazy time traveling that's going on that's messed up the timeline.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Right. Maybe.
To quote Bender from Futurama, that's thinking with your ass. So
thanks, Adam.
Yeah, good on Adam. That's a really cool idea. I like that idea that the idea of time travel just can allow the writers to screw with everything.
Yeah.
You know, names, people being places they shouldn't be, like, beasts, trench coat changing back and forth. The timeline's just blinking in and out of existence. So that's all we got. So again, another reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a review. That really goes a long way to getting the word out there. Follow me on Twitter at Willie Simpson.
Tell your friends.
Join the X-Men Task Facebook group. We'd love to chat with you there, and you can impress us with your great X-Men knowledge or history.
But no pressure. You can also just chat.
Yeah, and I, you know, and a lot of people post a lot of great stuff in there, and I don't always mention it on the podcast. I always try to give people their props in the Facebook group. I'm sorry if you said something really cool and I just forgot about it. You know, when we record these things, it's like it's hard to like have the internet up at the same time and review everything. So it's just sort of like if I don't say something you posted that was really cool. It's just because my memory, I can't remember in the moment. But I love all you guys out there. You're doing a great job contributing to the little community we got going. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's all the plugs I have for now. Next week, it'll be Mojo Vision. And then we'll be, like I said, we'll be wrapping up season two. And then perhaps some more fun sort of bonus episodes along the way or in between. And that's all I have to say. Sonia, do you have any last words for all the Beast fans out there?
See you next time.
No, Infinity. All right, goodbye.